When I built, this is the story of all, involves my wife Alice Campbell. In 1976, we had bought a lot in March from Arnell Michel from Moonglow Subdivision. And so I started my house. I subcontracted this home that I'm now living in. It's 1992 now. And so Alice and I, my frame is up, our windows are in, and we've had about 10 loads of gravel shoved into the garage hole all around the basement level. The bulldozer could only do so much. And my wife and I were working on a day-by-day basis. She had worked 17 years at Burke's downtown, and from 75 to 78, she took 3 years off, and she wasn't working. This particular day, I was on afternoon shift. I had sold my house at 132 Ethelbert, and had all my money in the bank involved with building my new house here at 488 Telstar. And anyway, this day, we ate dinner at my mom's house, and we're coming up the hill on Telstar here, Moonglow Subdivision, and we make a, I'm slow up at the corner, as I always do, from Regent. There was no lights at the time, as there is now, and I'm turning up the hill, and I must stress that there was only Jerry Lorraine. His house was across the street. He had stored some lumber in his garage for my house, because my contractors were taking the lumber out of his garage framing. We didn't leave it out in piles at night. He gave me permission, and a high school principal of a Catholic school just over in Jupiter Court here was the second house, and I was the third. So it was a very lonely subdivision. So as we turned up the hill, I almost come to a complete stop. Here's this white, beautiful coupe with no markings, no names on the front, the hubcaps, anything on the side to signify what type of a car it is. And behind the wheel was this, as far as I'm concerned, a UFO person, big eyes, no pupils, big round oval eyes, a small little nose, just two little slits, and a slit for a mouth, no visible earlobes, and a wig. You could sure tell it was a wig on a dome head. It just sat on the top, and you could just see that it could slide any place. And she, or he, looked over at us as we were turning the corner to come up into the subdivision. She was going down. And I said to my wife, as I poked her in the ribs, "Look at a real UFO person." She said, "Oh my God, it is." And I almost stopped, and they were stopped because they had to come out onto Regent Street. I shouldn't say they, just there was the one person in the car, and it had white gloves on covering their fingers, so we could not see the fingers up in the steering wheel. So I looked at this, and I proceeded about 5 miles an hour, turning my head as I'm coming up, and then my wife and the head of this alien person, which I say is an alien person, turned its head around like a robin or a bird or an owl, because it swiveled its head more than a human could swing. And my wife said, she screamed, my wife screamed, and she said, "Oh my God." And I said, "What are you screaming about?" She says, "It said to her, I want to talk to you." And I said, it didn't say nothing. And apparently it beamed this message right through mental telepathy from the person to my wife, which frightened her. She just didn't understand hearing a voice in her head, even though my window was down. The mouth didn't move on this, so I proceeded up the hill, 300 feet up the hill, over the crest, 8 lots down, right-hand side, we stopped. Just before I stopped, I glanced in my rearview mirror, and I said, "Guess what, Alice? She or he has turned around the bottom of the hill and is following us up." I got out of the car on my side, she got out on the house side, my house is on the right-hand side. I walked around to her, and I said, "If it goes by, let's jump back in the car and follow it." At this point in time, the car was coming very slowly and looking right at us with these eyes, which was really something. It just, you know, just sent a feeling right through you, these huge eyes, no white pupils, nothing, just almost a glazy brown black. And it just seemed so strange to see a person with eyes like this, no eyebrows, no eyelashes, nothing, nothing. And a sort of an elephant-looking type of grayish cast skin. It was sort of a whitish gray, you know. And this is what fascinated us, what we could see, and the white gloved hands. So I said, "I always have a pencil and paper in my pocket," because we were taking measurements down, ordering lumber, doing this and that. Each day I had a regimen to follow. So I'm quite excited. My heart's pounding. My wife, I'm as the car slows down, it looks like it's going to stop to talk to us. And my wife says, "Catch me, I'm passing out." And I had to put my hands under her arms from the back. And she literally just took a breath and sort of semi-collapsed. And I pulled her up and I says, come on, Alice. And I says, never mind, you know. And this car is just passing 10 feet away, just on the side of my car where I'm stopped. And I have the smartness as it's passing. I said, I've got to write this number, FLA 600 down. So I write it down, looks like an Ontario plate. Everything's in order. Six numbers, three letters, three numbers. I don't know why I'm taking this number down. And again, I check the back. It doesn't say Mercedes. It doesn't say anything. A trunk. No writing. There's no cars made in Canada, the States that doesn't say. That doesn't say its name on it someplace. It just doesn't exist. Every car has a nameplate. The car had normal looking tires like anything. It wasn't floating on the road. Although the one thing that I did think was very funny is I couldn't hear any motor sound. Even though it was going slow, you always seem to hear a motor sound of cylinders or anything. You know, you've got good hearing. There didn't seem to be no motor sound as we know a motor sound coming out of the exhaust. So anyway, after jotting these numbers down, I said to my wife, I'm going to follow it down. It's called Skyway now. The name hadn't even been put on the street. Skyway, down onto Arnold Street. And she says, it's going to abduct you. It might hypnotize you. It's going to take you away. She says, for God's sake, Donnie, please don't go. So I made up my mind at that time. My wife had such a frightening... I said, oh no, I won't follow it. I won't go. The thing about this car is that it had a neary glow to it. It had a white paint. But it had a look that was hard to describe. Like it just seemed to have a glow, an aura about it, you know, as it passed. So as far as I'm concerned, it certainly wasn't of this world. Now, I think I'm very fortunate for after this incident happened, we did our bit of work, and then I left at 2:30 to go home to shave up and clean up, because as a foreman, I had to be in at 3. My wife says, Jerry Larray or somebody else will either take me home or I'll use his phone at 6 o'clock. And my mother had a little 62 Envoy. She ended up calling my mother at supper time, and this is how she got a ride home. She continued to work. We were trying to save money on our house. So, make a long story short, she got picked up by mom, I guess, by 5:30 and got home. The next day, I phoned this particular day, I phoned the station, told them who I was, and provincial police station, by the way. I bowled for 10 years in the Friendship League with Sergeant Colton of the Sudbury Police Force and Sergeant Lightfoot of the Provincial Police Force. They're two couples, and my wife and I made a team of six, mixed league, Friendship League, and we'd already been with them, I guess it was about the seventh year. So when I phoned the Provincial Police Station, I just said, I'm a very good friend of Sergeant Lightfoot, could I speak to him? They said, he's not in right now, but this is Sergeant, whatever his name was at the time, I just don't quite recall. He says, well, what's it about? And the reason I mentioned Sergeant Lightfoot is I figure, well, I got to get in here good because I've had a strange thing happen to me, but I'm not going to mention UFOs to him. I said, I made up a story. I lied. I said, I just passed a car. It almost run me off the road on Regent Street. This is what I said to this guy. I said, he must have been drunk. I said, his license number is FLA 600. I wrote it down. I said, and this person should be checked into. And just see who they are, where their license registration is, knowing darn well that, in my mind, there is no registration. He says, where can I reach you at? And I says, 671-3811 was my mother's phone number at the time, and up in the West End. And he says, how long are you going to be there? And I says, for about 15 more minutes before I go to work. So he said, we usually don't do this for anybody. He says, seeing that you're a friend of Sergeant Lightfoot's, who is a true friend of mine, I figure we've been bowling with him for many years, and we talked about things like this. So anyway, he got back to me about 5-10 minutes, just before I was ready to go to work, and said, Mr. Campbell, I said, yeah, he got me on the phone, he says, this car you reported, a white, looked like a Mercedes-Benz coupe, white, and no markings on it, with this license number, we run it through the computers, and there's no such number in Ontario, there's no such number in Canada. You must have taken the number down wrong. So in my mind, all this proved once and for all is we had an alien car with an alien person with a phony license plate on that didn't belong to this earth. They made up their own license plate and put their own number on. It didn't exist. The number was non-existent at the time. And I just thought to myself, well, I said, I must have made a mistake and left it at that. But I couldn't wait till the following week when I could tell Sergeant Lightfoot of my experience And he told me of quite a few experiences when we used to talk at the bowling alley between doing our lines. He'd say, oh yes, he says, we have cruisers out in graveyard. He says, we've had cruisers, he says, even drive, chase UFOs down the road out of their territory, you know, beyond their, where they're supposed to go from point A to B, our provincial police station. He says, we get written reports up about these things all the time. Flying white, red lights, glowing in the sky, flying just above the cruiser, traveling at the same speed as the cruiser or slightly ahead, and the cruiser going down the highway, and the cruiser would speed up to 80, and the UFO would speed up to 80, and the cruiser would slow down to 50 or 60. He says, yeah. He says, we have these incidents all the time. He says, they go in our private files. He says, but we've had all kinds of reports. So I would talk quite openly to him, and I say, do you believe in UFOs? And he says, oh, by all means. He says, our constables aren't crazy. He says, they know what they're seeing. He says, the Sudbury Police has got the same experience as people that work on graveyard in cruisers and walking the beat in the middle of the night have looked up and seen these things. And in 67 and 68, believe me, the Sudbury Star had many, many little articles. A postal worker in Valcarran sees UFO at 6 o'clock in the morning, gets scared. UFO seen over post office, you know, in early hours of morning in Sudbury, Ontario. Five jets screamed down from Flint, Michigan, and watch five are coming in because all the Sudbury police and the provincial police are up on Burton Avenue, where the old city dump was, watching UFOs putting on an exhibit from 1:30 to 2:30 in the morning for an hour, enough time for five jets. This was the headlines in the good old Sudbury Star. No denying it. It said that I can still see the title. Jets scramble from Flint, Michigan down to Sudbury, Ontario, and when they're 20 miles away, the five UFOs promptly put out their lights and flew away and scrambled. This is all quite interesting. So these are some of the things that have happened in my time, and I followed through.